Hi, this is singer Kate Eppers, and you're listening to Citywide Blackout.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Citywide Bites, our Saturday morning talk show. We talk to musicians and writers and comic creators. Thank you, of course, for joining us once again. This week's show, this is really cool. We are going to be talking to Mark Maya for his soon-to-be-released comic series, which is called So-Called Living. I've been checking some of it out. It's a really, really cool thing, but he's waiting for us. So let's jump right in this, guys. And of course, ask some questions. Make some comments, whatever you want to do. And there we go. I did not hit a button. That's improper. He'll be joining us in just a quick second. Before we get rolling, though, I want to give a special thanks to the folks over at Lesser Known Comics because they helped get this whole thing together. And, big thanks to them. Definitely an absolutely amazing comics company. Check them out. They have some great titles. And there we go. All right. Welcome to the show, Mark. Great to have you here, man.
Well, thanks for having me. I guess this is a learning experience for both of us.
It kind of is, right? How does this thing called Instagram work exactly? I hear it's pretty popular.
Because, yeah, I was watching, I hit the request, and right. I was like, I don't know what's happening on that end. Once I hit that button, it's like...
That request is just often, the oblivion of, cyberspace or something like that. Someday we're gonna figure this out. I think we will eventually. But in the meantime, let us talk about your series, So-Called Living, currently in the Kickstarter phase, which is running through April 25th, guys. So I've already backed this thing. So put my money where its mouth is. Definitely check this thing out. It's running for just a little while longer. Back this thing so we can help get it out there to everyone. But Mark, just to kind of kick things off, tell us a little bit about the series and what this thing's all about.
All right. Well, So-Called Living. This is weird for me because I've done podcasts before, but never in my, this is my studio. This is where I record my YouTube channel. So I feel like I should be hosting. That's what it feels like to me. So this feels weird. Anyways.
Just take over the show. It's totally cool with me.
So So-Called Living takes place in a world where everything exists. Vampires, werewolves, zombies, but they live among us, us normies. It's part of our everyday, but it's not part of our everyday like we're in an apocalyptic future. It's we live like we do now, except when you go to a cafe, you can be sitting next to a werewolf or a vampire and, step over a zombie on your way there. It's commonplace. But it's not something that suddenly happened. It was always a part of our lives. It wasn't there was a great event and these things showed up. It was how we've always existed with animals, how we've always existed with each other. These guys have existed with us. So, or these monsters, whatever you classify them as. And so our outlook on them is different. The way we react to them is different. There's not a vampire, a hunting force, and it's a constant war. It's we've all learned to live together. There are bars that provide vampire drinks. But some vampires will obviously go off the rails and, kill people or feed on, unwanting victims. Just like humans do, you're not supposed to kill people, but there are people who do. And the zombie outbreaks happen. But they're quickly dealt with. There's a team for that deals with that. So it's like that. So there's the monsters there, but the monsters still follow the rules. And So-Called Living is a dark comedy. So it does deal with some dark situations. And it kind of takes a tongue-in-cheek approach, kind of a sarcastic outlook to serious situations. So it's got the sarcastic humor.
Yeah, I love this concept. This is really cool. What inspired this? What kind of led you to go down this route for your story?
Well, I've always just wanted to make a world where anything is possible, right? And I guess that's true with Marvel, DC, most comics, right? But I wanted to change that possibility because everything that I find in those comics, at least early on, it's if a vampire pops up in this world, it's still a vampire popping up in our world, how we see our world, right? So everybody reacts to you like, oh my God. But I was like, what if this world, what if they were already there? What if the amazing is commonplace? Then how do you deal with it, right? So everybody's not blown away by vampires or werewolves or zombies. Like, there, it's just, it's common day there. So that's, I guess that's the pitch. It's like, what if the amazing, this impossible, the incredible was just part of your everyday?
Dude, and I am loving this thing. I am so looking forward to checking out this thing out. Now, let's focus, of course, on the main character, Jack. He is just a regular dude, a normie, who gets turned into a vampire, like you do. And he's trying his best to just kind of adapt to this new way of living. And, of course, it's not going to go so well. But without giving us too many spoilers, of course, how does Jack sort of shift into this new living?
Well, he doesn't do well. So he, like, the Jack, when he first gets turned, and it's in the first issue, which, if anybody's curious, you can read the first issue for free on Global Comics. There's a link to it on the Kickstarter page. Like, after you read the first five pages, you can click the link below it and continue to the rest of the book. So, but when Jack gets turned, the first issue he comes across is, they're pretty mundane issues. Like, he can't get into his apartment. So, because he can't get invited into his own apartment. So he's homeless. So he's a homeless vampire. And that's his first thing he has to deal with. And it's a big issue. You know, he's just been turned into a vampire. He's technically dead. That's why, you know, part of so-called living, but he's got to make do with this new way of living again. Bring back the title, so-called living. So, and his problems are like, so when he wakes up in the morning, imagine you're a human and all of a sudden you're a vampire, but nothing much has changed with you other than like, oh, now I'm a vampire. Now I have to follow vampire rules. But you've been a human for like, you know, 27 years, however old Jack is, right? So when he wakes up in the morning, first thing he's going to do is walk outside into the sun. Well, that's not good for vampires. You know, he might, eat some garlic. Well, that's not good. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just going to deal with things that are like, he's going to go along his life and realize that his life is changing and he's got to learn to adapt. And when he gets turned into a vampire, you got to understand that the vampires in this world aren't like the Bram Stoker's vampires. They're not like the, oh, my love, you know, I worship the moon. I thirst. Like, yeah, they like blood. It's thirsty. They need it to live. Like, we need food, but we don't treat food like Bram Stoker's Dracula treats blood. Right. It's like, oh my God, this hot dog. So, I mean, some of us do. This is what foodies are, right? That's what I picture foodies.
I know, right?
Are.
Yeah.
So, anyways, like the bikers that turn, or the vampires that turn them are like bikers, like their personality. And they explain to Jack and they're in their own way, they explain this, and you should read the book to get a vibe for how they speak. But they're very blunt, and that last thing, the guy who makes Jack doesn't want Jack to be what he calls a forest fairy, which is vampires that like run around in cloaks and sparkle in the moonlight and you know, prance around and like fawn over these women that they're obsessed with, basically the romance vampires, right? Nick, who's like the big tough biker guy, doesn't stand for that. So he's labeled them forest fairies, where in this world fairies are an actual, you know, tiny like Tinkerbell, you know, like yeah. Actual things. So it's not like like a derogatory term in the way it is like now, like fairies are actually a thing. anyways, that's the vampire he is. That's the kind of thing he's got to deal with. So the problems are mundane at first, but there's this underlying story that's happening that's very serious. And these people do not joke around. They're not bumbling idiots. And they're taking the situation very seriously. Whatever their situation is, I don't want to ruin that. That gets kind of revealed a bit in book two. Mm-hmm. Jack starts to get, he gets in over his head. He gets pulled into a situation that he's just a regular guy. He's just like me and you. We're just like bumbling idiots going around through life. You know, like, we're not important movie people. Nobody's going to make a movie about us. You know what I mean? We're not the Sopranos. We're not Walter White. We're not these, we're not that interesting. And so that's what Jack is. He's just one of us. And but then he gets involved with people who are one of them. And but while he's like a bumbling idiot and his comedy is that of like, say, him and his friends, kind of like that of Friends, like the show Friends. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, imagine Friends meets Cabin in the Woods, but there's like a soprano situ element in there. So it's, oh, hey, my good friend Joe joined us. Good morning, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Joe's a great guy.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Now, of course, you're not working alone on this one. You've got a great, great art team behind this one. Marco Aliona is your like main artist. You also mm-hmm. have some guest artists, Ashley Insomnia and James Reel, doing the alternate covers. But how did you all meet, and what's this collaboration been like?
Well, there's also two other artists that did the elite ones that are like, right. Well, first of all, Marco Aliona, I'll do this in order. Marco Aliona did the... he did the inside artwork and the cover for the standard issues, because there's three tiers: standard, elite, and sexpot. We can explain all those in a bit. But the standard edition was all done by Marco Aliona, which he's an artist that lives in Italy. So he works out of Italy. And I met him when I was looking for an artist to just hire outright to do like a work for hire job. So that way it allows me to keep control and make sure this thing gets done. And just so you know, like, I know there's this, collaboration is a great thing. It is. But when you're out in the wild like this and you're not like in a controlled environment, like a studio, collaboration could break down into a messy, like, no, I want my thing. I want this thing. I want that thing. Or one person drops out, which is more the case in my part. I really haven't had arguments with anybody, but I have had people join in, drop out. So the collaboration thing hasn't really worked for me outside in the wild on something this scale. For my YouTube channel, it's been fine. It's been great. But for something this scale, is creating my own book, no. So I decided to just do a work for hire situation. So I pay Marco. We're in a contract for him to draw 8 books for me. He draws what I ask him to draw, but he adds his own flair to it, and obviously his style, because I was looking for a very specific style, which was Marco. So I kept looking until I found the artist that was exactly the style I wanted, because I feel like there's styles that match, you know, like the pace and the tone of the storytelling. Mm-hmm. So I wanted that to be what Marco did. So he's done great. I'm so happy I found him. When I put the call out to Twitter for artists, I got a lot of anime, but it was very like teen romance anime illustrations, which is great. I like anime, but that style doesn't match so-called living. It's kind of like the dark, gritty, serious style of some other artists also don't match the style of so-called living. It needed to be a little quirky. Actually, this is closer to what I need for so-called living too. You know, it's got a little
that,
bit.
Yeah, that is so cool. That is so some good stuff. And that, folks, if you're curious, that is done by Raging Apes, or Raging Ape Art, I believe is also the name for it. Yeah. Just look that up, folks. If you find it, follow them, because this is some stellar work.
Yeah. I think it's Raging Ape Prince.
That's right. Okay. There we go.
So check that out. So anyways, that's how I found Marco. And the other two covers, like if you go down in the tiers, there's Elite. Like, and the Elite covers are Derek Loffman, who's on Instagram. He's got a huge following on Instagram. I think he's like 300,000 plus followers. He's doing great on Instagram. He runs his own Kickstarters. He does a lot of art books. He's doing his own story right now. So Derek is great. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for over 20 years, I think now. And he lives here in London, Ontario with me. I'm from Toronto. London, Ontario is 2 hours away from there. I moved here for work and I met Derek. We worked together for a few years. So he did that one cover where you'll see if you go visit the Kickstarter page, like Jack running away from like zombies.
Yes, I saw that one.
That's Derek's artwork. And beside that, there's a photograph, which is Ashton Techno Prasad. And he does photography of like Toronto is mainly what he does. And he's amazing photographer. He's done work in Paris. He's done work in New York. I've known Ashton since he was 10. And since I've known him, I wanted his work on my book. I love his work. And the fact that it's photography of my hometown, all the better. So I wanted to put that on there. And then the next tier, which you brought up, that's the obligatory sexpot editions, which are the sexy covers. I'll make a long story short. There's nothing sexy about So-Called Living. It's a very just it's a good story with no sex appeal. So it's funny. It's a dark humor. It deals with some serious situations with a funny way from the point of view of Jack. But upon doing my research of like what's popular on Kickstarter, well, sexy covers are very popular on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. But I didn't just want to put one for no reason. I needed to fit in. But the only way, so I couldn't figure a way for it to fit in because I was like, clearly there's people who want sexy covers. So I want to offer something to those people who like the sexy covers. I have nothing against them. Just that's not my book. I like sexy things just as much as the next person. But what does fit with the book is the humor of the badge on those books that says obligatory sex pot edition. There's a badge on each of those covers. And it's basically a tongue-in-cheek way of kind of having fun with the ideas like, hey, if you want to be successful on Kickstarter, you got to have a sexy cover. So that's where the obligatory sex pot editions come in. And the girls on the covers are a sexy version of Jill and a sexy version of her waitress from book two. Now, those girls don't look like that in the books, but it's the same way as like when you go to a Comic-Con and you see a sexy Mario and a sexy Luigi. People like cosplayers do a great job of like sexy SpongeBob. Like they make a great job of making these characters. So, and those covers, like Jamie Reel did book two. And so he's a friend of mine as well. I worked with him in the past. I don't know how comfortable he felt about doing a sex pot edition. It's not really his thing, but he's a fantastic artist, but he did it. And the first one, which is a bit of a, also kind of like a tongue-in-cheek humor thing, is Ashley Insomnia is actually AI. It states that where, so we used an like AI software to help generate that image, but we didn't do straight voice to text. Text to image. I mean, we did like a collection of, cause I'm an artist myself. So but the artist we hired originally to do that issue, dropped out. But they didn't take any money ahead of time, so I didn't lose anything. So I was lucky there, but they dropped out, just for time. And because I was going to launch this Kickstarter last year, I was kind of in a rush to get it out. So I was like, maybe I can draw this. So I started logging it out and I was like, I'm not going to get this done in time. I haven't drawn in a while. So I've been a creative director and art director for years. So, but I haven't actually physically done it. I've been telling people what to do for so long. So I was slow and I was like, I'm never going to get this done in time. So I drew it and then I found this program that, and I can't remember which one because I've played around with so many AI programs. And there was one where you can put in your drawings, you can put in photographs, and I Frankenstein, like copied this head, put it on a body and arms, and half of it was drawn. I drew a cup in her hand. Like it was just a Frankenstein. It looked like a murderer wrote a letter in an image form, put it into this program, and it spit out this illustration. Now, keep in mind, it wasn't that easy. Like I got so many illustrations that were just like monsters. But I did like the AI, the way the AI colors things. It's got this, it's very AI looking, but it matches. Like a lot of the sexy covers are AI generated and not everybody's honest about it. So, but a lot of people are, but I am being honest. It is an AI cover, or I used AI tools to create it. So anyways, put that thing out. Yeah. And the first, it gave me some like monsters with like hands coming out of it, like just disturbing things. Had to learn how to use the program better. And then I got that. Then I had to Photoshop it on top of that. Cause it was still like just a monstrosity, but I Photoshopped it, so it looks like it does now. And like, in all honesty, that was kind of like a fun little experiment to try. And if anybody who backs it, like I know there's a lot of like negativity against AI artwork, but like all the artwork inside the book is all Marco. All the writing is me. All the other covers, all the other pages, all the other stuff is all real people that have done it from scratch, right? So it's like, when you buy that book, real people are still getting that money who did a lot of work on all of this. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like the AI covers, we have other covers. Like it's still fine. And for like the next Kickstarter, I don't plan on using any AI because now I'm locking down my cover artists now.
Nice.
And I did have more time, but I didn't even realize I had more time because like I said, I was going to launch this last year and then it started getting later and later in the year. And then I upon my research, it's like, oh, it's bad to launch in like November. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to push it till next year. So I ended up did having the time, but it was already all done. And I already started working on like cleaning up the scripts for the next books. And I got another job. So I didn't have the time to go back. I had to deal with what I had.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So let us talk about the Kickstarter. So this, again, folks, this runs until April 25th. You already met your goal. You're actually about $1,000 over the goal as of like right now. That must be a huge relief because some Kickstarters make it and some don't.
It's so you know what? It was stressful to begin with. And the first day you start up and you're like, oh, this is because nobody knows me. I'm not a writer anybody knows. I'm using an artist nobody knows. You know what I mean? And I had some variant covers from artists that people do know, but that wasn't enough because like it's my book. So that's why I gave the first one out free so people could read it because I'm confident in my story. So like you can read So-Called Living for Free on Global Comics. And then if you like it, then come to the Kickstarter and support books 1 and 2. They come as a set. And so that's how confident I felt in the story to do that. But yeah, I was nervous. And then what made me more nervous, because I was like, okay, we're getting close. We're at the $4,000 mark. I'm talking Canadian dollars. So it's different for you. So like 4,000 for me was still 1,000 under because I was asking for 5,000. That's conversion for any Americans watching. So I was 5,000 was what I wanted. I was at the $4,000 mark. And I was like, hey, things are going pretty well. And then a bunch of people told me, did you know there's this Kickstarter algorithm that if you don't fund within 48 hours, like you get, like they push you down or it doesn't look as good. They don't promote you as much. You're not as visible. And I was like, what? So I was like, now I got to get another thought. Like, it's like, it was a slow crawl. I was like, come on, fund before 2 days are over. Right. Oh, and then it funded at like 33 hours. And I was like, thank you. Okay. I don't know how this helps. But it did help take some stress off of me. But it was, I'm flattered that that many people wanted it. And that for the longest time, the All In was the best seller. And it's still up there. Like it's pretty even amongst the tiers. It seems like the Sexpot tier is the lowest, ironically. But I think because a lot of people that get the All In will get the Sexpot edition anyway. So I'm assuming that's where that comes from. So because I have like digital standard cover, elite cover, Sexpot, and then an All In tier. So 5 total. And I wanted to keep it small because I wanted to make it easy for people to follow along. And I saw a lot of other comic books, even successful ones, have like 18 to 22 tiers. But a lot of those, most of them, a lot of those tiers have zero backers, 0, 0, 0, 1, 2, 0, 0. Yeah. And then they have 3 or 4 that have like 60, 150 backers, 40 backers. So I was like, well, I just want to be those few. I just want to narrow it down to those few that people want and not just complicate it and flood it with things, right? Mind you, I did find another Kickstarter the other day that all of their tiers are doing fairly well. But again, I try to also keep it simple for me, being my first comic book, being my first Kickstarter. So I wanted to keep that easy. But yeah, Kickstarters are stressing me out. And now I got people helping me out to do the pledge. Like I've teamed up with Pledge Manager. They had a promotion. Cool. They partnered with Kickstarter. So they're helping me out and they're great so far, which is excellent. Cause I was like, what do I do when this thing ends? Like I know people that have done Kickstarter. So I have a lot of, like, I can ask a lot of questions, but yeah, I was nervous, but I got a good support group. So it's going to get done.
Exactly.
But, and like really everything I've done is right so far. I've talked to Pledge Manager people. They said, yeah, everything's on track. You know, I've got a shipper. I've got all the shipping costs. I've got the boxes. Like I'm good. See, right. But in my mind, until it's done, it's never done.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, until you actually have them in the boxes and off to the post office, it's still not done. I think that's how a lot of people feel. It's like, technically I'm there. We're fully funded. We're good to go. But until it's shipped off and some people keep like, and then people like will like post about it on their Insta. It ain't done yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So. All right. So can we get a few hints as to the direction of the story? No spoilers, of course. We want people to read this thing. But what can people kind of expect as the series goes on over the 8 issues?
Okay, let me see what I can give where that won't spoil it.
All right.
Because there's a few good surprises in there.
Okay.
One thing you should know is like there's little. I'll point out some things that are noted in the first issue. There is this, and even on the Kickstarter page, there's this bunny motif. Mm-hmm. to the layout, and the bunnies are mentioned in like two panels, right? But those bunnies do their story is like it's like a thing that's happening in the background. You know, it's like there's our lives now, and then there's flooding in Dubai. So like it's happening, but it's not really. It's happening. It's bad, but it's not really our problem. Like, how much do you think about it, right? You don't. It's not your problem. Mm-hmm. It's their problem. Well, think of bunnies is currently, it's a bad issue, but it's somebody else's problem until it isn't.
Mm.
And what the story with them is, you'll have to read to find out. Bunnies is one that like, there's a little bit like the first book, there might be like two panels dedicated to it. And then the second book will be like maybe three panels dedicated to it, right? So you'll see more and more of them as you go. And they're mentioned as they're mentioned very nonchalantly, like, hey, the flood in Dubai. It's not a big deal. But if you were in Dubai, you wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, the flooding.
Yeah. No big deal. It's fine. Like, don't worry about it.
So that's how everybody addresses it right now. Cause right now it's not their problem. Also, another thing is Jack being turned into a vampire, which I mentioned earlier, other than his mundane issues that he has to deal with, he's going to get roped in with some very bad people. And I put in people in quotes. So, and these guys are very serious, and they're looking for Jack, and he doesn't even know this is happening. So some very serious people who do some very nasty things are after Jack. And so the bit of the comedy is that Jack doesn't even know that this is happening to him. But when you look at it from the perspective of the people who are actually after him, it's very serious. So it's got two very different tones when it goes back and forth. And then, so that's Jack's story escalating. And Nick and Casper, who are the vampires in the first issue, although you don't see them in the second issue, there's a little spoiler, they don't show up in the second issue, but they will show up after that, and they will play a main part in Jack's life. And there's more to the story than meets the eye. So there are some like, oh, that's why all that's happening. So to Jack. So there is a bit of it. So as the story evolves, again, I don't want to spoil too much, but there's more also to the characters. So there's some characters, there's more to them. Like you probably know the most about Jack, but mm-hmm. you're going to meet his friends and what kind of people they are. So it's very much an ensemble comic book, like ensemble, you know, like an ensemble comedy mm-hmm. with serious tones. So as you meet most of the cast in books one and two, although there are some key players that show up in book three and four. And those scripts are written, but those books aren't done. That's why I need this funded so I can do those.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, Mark, man, it's been absolutely great talking to you. Of course, I'm loving the book. And folks, again, Kickstarter, 4 more days, all right? Get out there, support the Kickstarter. You go to socalledliving.com. You'll find everything there. And definitely looking forward to this thing's launch. And certainly next time we talk about the next projects, I'm sure there'll be more stuff down the road for you.
Oh, for sure. Like keep an eye out for books. You'll like the story. Back Socal Living 1 and 2. Our shipping is reasonable because I've looked at shipping from the States to here because I'm in Canada. And it's like on average, the books I've clicked on, I don't know if anybody's following the same thing or maybe it's just the ones I checked, but it was like $23 to ship from the States to here where I'm charging $12 to ship from here anywhere in the States.
Oh, okay. Well, so, there you go. Not too bad.
So, yeah, our shipping is very, very reasonable. And it's for up to 6 books, actually, because if you get the all in, the shipping is all based on those 6 books.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Sorry, I'm good.
I got you, man. I got you. All right. Well, folks, this brings this episode to a close. Mark, thanks again, man. Looking forward to checking the book out. Of course, folks. First issue available on Global Comics. Again, socalledliving.com. It's all there. Follow Board Game Coffee and SoCalled Living on Instagram. And once you get your books, guys, we want to see the pictures. Post this stuff. We want to see what you thought, what you liked, favorite scenes, all that stuff. And Mark, thanks again, man. And we'll be talking again real soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, brother. This was awesome.
Oh, thank you. And to the folks out there, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all the follows and the comments. And keep it here every Saturday, 10 a.m. And we'll see you next time. And with that, we bring this episode to a close. Thanks for listening, and if you haven't already, check us out on Facebook under Citywide Blackout, and Twitter and Instagram under Citywide Max. You can catch this and all your favorite episodes on your favorite podcast platform, and new episodes are added every week, as well as on Boston Free Radio every Saturday at 10 p.m. You get me at citywidemax at yahoo.com if you want to suggest a guest, submit your music, or just drop us a line. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.